Thank you. Yeah, I'm Mickey, I'm an addict. It's really been really scary for me coming over here tonight because, my recovery sort of started in this area, and it weren't through choices because I used to come over here to Thieve, and it started round the corner in Charing Cross Police Station, this journey. You know, it weren't through choice. You know, and in them days, it was a couple of years ago when I got arrested the last time. I used to come over here to steal purses and wallets and bags and things like that. And I took a risk of getting fitted up when I used to come over here. And, a couple of times I've got fitted up and went to jail for being over here with attempted theft of unknown persons. And that never bothered me. I used to walk around the prison yard and I got convicted on one of them occasions. I got fitted up, got guilty and got a bit of birth. And the last time, the last time I was over here, I really wasn't well when I was in that police station. I went out to get some gear, got nicked, went to court, and then it just all, I still didn't have a desire to get clean from that day, and I ended up in the nick. I went to Bow Street Magistrates around the corner, got sent to the Crown. It turned out that it was a judge's handbag that I took out the Royal Opera House, and it all gone wrong. And I remember sitting, and I ended up in Brixton again. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself before that. I started taking my drugs when I was 12. I stopped going to school when I was 12. I started taking drugs when I was 12, and I probably didn't get a day clean till I was 38. And from the puff, from the powders, but for the last 20 years I was on the gear and I was on the pipe. I spent a lot of time in prison. I probably spent 10 years behind the door, and still didn't get no clean time. And I thought I chose to use drugs, but now when I look back, sometimes I really didn't choose to do that. When I was taking that money out of my dad's house and things like that, and I was really, it was really hurting me to do it, but I still done it. Shows me today that I really didn't have a choice because I couldn't even stop doing things that I didn't want to do. And I went to court. When I got nicked, I went to court. And, I was really arrogant. And I said to the probation officer, just get the judge to sentence me. And then I said to the judge, just sentence me. And he said he was going to give me a parolable sentence, and that was a 4. And then he said, but you can have a treatment centre if you want, or I'm going to give you a, because I asked for a custodial sentence, he said he's going to give me a big one. And I didn't think, I can go into this treatment centre and get clean. I thought, he can give me this DTTO, I can go to court. He can give me the DTTO, and then I can just go and use. And when he catches me, he can give me a bit of bird, because that's the way I thought. I've shared it a few times. I thought I was a right face. But I'll tell you about when I was in court. I thought I was really a bad criminal. When I got the DTTO order, the judge said to the jailers, don't release him till his mum gets here. That really shows what I was like. And then I was down the cells and I was telling everyone how bad I was in the cells and all that. And then the screw popped the door open. He went, you can go, your mum's here. I used drugs for a long, 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 long time. I didn't want to get clean. When I picked up that white key ring, I didn't have a desire not to use drugs. I had a desire to get out of a cell. That was the desire that I had. I used to go to meetings in the nick I didn't get a day clean. I just didn't get a day clean. And I got the treatment, I got the DTTO order, I went and scored some gear, and I went into treatment with gear, it didn't come easy to me. I didn't have no structure. I'd never had no structure in my life. Anything anyone ever told me don't do, I'd done. If you don't do that, of course I'd do that, Even today, if people say to me, don't do it, there's a part of me that still wants to do it. So I was in treatment for about 2 months, and I really, really struggled, getting confronted, I wasn't even manageable enough to, I used to struggle to empty an ashtray when it had 2 dog ends in it, and I used to get confronted because I couldn't do these very, very simple things. And really, really struggled to get confronted by anyone and not react. And And after about two months of that, my counsellor in treatment, he said to me, why do you use drugs? And I said, you know, because I like to use drugs. And he said to me, do you think you're powerless over drugs? And I said, no, I'm not powerless. And he said to me, well, when did you pick up drugs? And I said, about 26 years ago. And he said, and when did you put them down? And I said, about a week after I got here. And it just showed me that, you know, I'd never stopped using. There's no pattern in my using. It was just from then to then, you know, 26 years out of my life. I lost a lot. I lost my children. You know, I lost my house. You know, I had an event with my children, which was probably the most painful thing. Was the social services got involved, and like for the first 6 months, I said to them, you know what, you've got it all wrong. You know, I ain't got a problem. And then for the next 6 months, I said to them, well, you weren't 100% wrong, but you was a little bit wrong. And then 6 months after that, I went, okay, I've got a problem. And then about a month after that, my door come, the police come to my house at about 3 o'clock in the morning. to remove my children to a place of safety. And, you know, I didn't know how to deal with that. And, you know, my son was there, my youngest son was there, he was about 10, and my oldest son was with my mother-in-laws, and the house was full of police, and they wanted to take my children, or take my son, or both my children. But, you know, I couldn't deal with it, and I caused murders in the house, and, you know, my son was screaming when they said they was going to nick me. My son was screaming, "Don't arrest my dad!" And all I could care about was me, you know. And I caused a lot of stress. And my son got took in a police car. My partner got took in a police car. I got took in a police car. They released me the next day, and they told me my children gone into a place of care. So, I had a lot of pain in my using, and that's obviously why I didn't want to clean up. I couldn't face cleaning up, and then I ended up after about 2 months of being in treatment, you know, because I thought I've only got another 10 months to go and I can have a use up, and, you know, this swerve would be over, because it was a swerve, there's no doubt about that, it was a swerve to get out of the nick, and then something just, you know, because I say to people about my will, I didn't hand my will over, you know, it was like it was took. For 26 years of my life, I'd done what I wanted, and all of a sudden, I wasn't doing what I wanted, and I didn't want to do that. You know, my will just... I can't explain it, but my will was just gone, and I didn't act like a lunatic. And, and I completed treatment, and I come back to London, and I thought, yeah, I'm better, you know, I can go back to London 6 months, and I come back to London, and I was sitting in crack houses telling people they don't know what they're doing, and preaching to them, you know, they're powerless, and they was like, we've got a lunatic here, you know. No, they're trying to blow the smoke out from smoking a pipe, and I was in their ear, you know, you really don't know what you're doing. And then about 7-8 months, when I was about 7-8 months, you know, it hit me one day, I got up, I didn't want to use it, it just smashed me to pieces, I didn't know what to do. But I had been going to meetings, you know, for the first 6 months of my recovery. You know, it was, I don't even know how it happened, because it seemed like it wasn't really down to me, and it just seemed so easy. And, well, not for the first 6 months, after the first two, it seemed really easy. And then, you know, but I went to meetings, and I started going to meetings, and I was sitting in meetings, and I could hear all these things, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. So I thought, you know what, I'm doing the meetings, I better get a sponsor. So I got a sponsor and didn't do nothing with him, and then I heard, you know, going in meetings saying, you know what, I went to meetings, I had a sponsor, I had commitments, I'd done this, I'd done readings, I prayed, or I didn't do one thing, and I relapsed. But part of me was still sort of saying, you know, you can do this differently to everyone, and you know. So like I say, in 11 months I've been on step one now, and I've been clean 17 months. And I've been on my step one 11 months. And like I say, I never went to school. In my life, you know, I struggle to give myself affirmation. You know, when I come out of treatment, and the last week my life just really, really turned as well. I come out of treatment, and I went to my aftercare worker, and I said, he said to me, do you want to go for these courses? And I said, and he showed me one, an advisor's course with the Citizens Advice Bureau. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. I was like some lunatic, really. I just wanted to do everything. Because I had so much, you know, determination to use. I thought, when I get clean, I'll be able to be whatever I want. But then I realised I really ain't got that obsession or compulsion to be an advisor. But I struggled. And anyway, I got on that course as an advisor, and, you know, and next year, the beginning of next year, I should be advising people with the Citizens Advice Bureau. And I still find that hard to believe as well. And You know, I went for another interview this week, and I'm starting to get a bit obsessive around doing things, because I'm applying for going courses that last like 8 days a week, and there's only five in a week. But, so I'm coming a bit of a thing with that. But so I went for another course, and I just got accepted to do an MVQ level 3. Some scheme, you know, where you go in a treatment centre. You know, I haven't even been out of treatment in a year, and in February I'll be going in and doing an MVQ level 3. Got my children in my life. I've had a brilliant day today as well, you know. I really, really had a mad day. I've done some voluntary work and ended up doing a placement there, and today I've been screaming my lungs out on a karaoke machine. And I've always had a bit of fear around getting up in front of people and doing that stuff. And, you know, today I feel... It's really, I don't feel to use today. And I got up this morning, I prayed. Not a long prayer, but I prayed, and I've done a reading. I've come to a meeting, doing service, I'll speak to my sponsor. And, you know, and I might even do a bit of step work, but I doubt that. But, you know, really my recovery seems like it's watertight at the moment. All the right things are happening. It's really, really good. I feel really under pressure here as well. You know, big meeting, a lot of clean time. Makes me feel I can't really tell you anything. But yeah, it's just good, you know? It's good. And take care.
Okay.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Mickey.
Thanks.